Welcome to CounselorAudioSource.net. Counselor Audio Source is a weekly podcast dedicated to the professional enhancement of practicing counselors, supervisors, and counselor educators. Look for us on the web at CounselorAudioSource.net. I'm Dr. Marty Gentius from Kent State University, and this week I speak with David Palomo, creator of the Studio Hope Project at StudioHope.org. The Studio Hope Project works with youth in helping them create their stories through digital music. In this week's show, we speak with David and hear some of the electronic stories created by youth. With me today on Counselor Audio Source is David Palomo, who is representing and is part of StudioHope.org, the Studio Hope Project. And David is a graduate of Pacifica Graduate Institute, and they're near Santa Barbara.
Near Santa Barbara, correct.
And is currently in the EDS program at Kent State University. Why don't you tell us a little bit about the Studio Hope program?
Let me try this with a little bit of history then. Studio Hope actually grew out of my internship experience when I was actually interning here in Ohio as part of my program in Santa Barbara. And I was working with severely emotionally disturbed kids, 8 to 13 years old, and I was an amateur musician. And so I took my four-track digital recorder in to do supervision, thinking this would be great because I wouldn't have to turn a tape over and interrupt the session. Well, kids being kids, they started saying, what's this thing and how does it work? And it actually then began to be part of the counseling process. And I started to make discoveries with that particular unit about how that could work then as for working with the kids as well as for supervision. It had, for example, ways to tweak the voice in the microphone channel so you could sound like chipmunks or sound like Darth Vader or put a lot of echo on it. So it actually first started as a storytelling device. Kids would just come in and they'd start telling these amazing stories and pointing to me to change voice to one or to two, you know, to get the kind of voice they wanted to really juice up their story. And then I had a 13-year-old come in one day and he said, well, you know, if I brought in a CD, could we, like, put it on one track and I could rap on the other track? And of course, I was... As an amateur musician, I was all guitar and kumbaya, so this was news to me. And so I said, yeah, we can do that. Bring it in. And what he ended up doing was a little piece about some of his struggles, you know, in the program and at home and how he was coping. And I thought, well, now this is something we
could really
capitalize on. So in the next year, I continued to try it out and try different kinds of techniques. But the thing that really sold me was when this one 13-year-old girl had been working with her counselor, and she'd made her own words. And this is before I knew really what I was doing in terms of mixing and all of that. And it would have been very laborious going through there and doing the vocals over and over and clipping them and getting them just right. 2-minute song probably took us 2-3 hours. And she was very patient. But I tell you, when that CD... burner popped out her CD with her song on it. Her eyes got really big. I said, now we've got to find a way to work with this, because she got really excited about being able to make that positive statement about where her life was going. She wanted to share it with her mom, with her friends, with her teachers.
And she was able to stay focused on that project for a for a 2-minute project. She was able, she stayed focused and invested in it for 2 to 3 hours.
And it made for a very a positive interaction with an adult, which a lot of these kids who have severe emotional problems or behavioral problems, very often they've had precious little positive experience with an adult. So I was able to go at it with a little bit of humor with her, saying, well, you know, you've got a rookie producer, so hang in there with me. and she did, but she didn't, as so many of these kids from the lesser economic backgrounds don't get the exposure to being able to make music like this. They only know about buying CDs. So, again, to have that CD come out, and it's their work, and they made it.
And it's their words, and it's their expression of feeling.
Yes, and I'd worked with her. You know, we'd selected the loops we were going to use for the background. And I figured out then that the best thing to do there is you'd make the accompaniment, send it home with them on a CD, that they can practice and work with their words. And in this case, the gal was working with her full-time counselor about what she wanted to say and words to put in it.
So this is really about sort of bringing the creative arts into the realm of working with clients who have need to be able to kind of express that emotion or that history.
Exactly. I think there's just a lot of potential here with the digital music. The thing that really opened my eyes is that the digital revolution in music has put music in the hands of people that wouldn't have had it before. It's really amazing because what you basically do, what's involved, is you can get... There's a lot of different programs out there. We use the Sony Home Studio. It's called Sony Acid Music Studio program. And what that does is that allows us to layer in pre-recorded clips of music. And it could be a guitar, it could be a drum, it could be a saxophone, it could be an organ, it can be a piano, it could be anything. And then with just point and click with your mouse, you can arrange how many seconds or that you want to extend each one of those. You can start with one drum, layer in another drum, and arranging is just a snap. And so what I do is I work with the kids. We come in and we say, okay, here's the loops we're going to work with today.
Okay.
Let's see how that works and see what you can come up with.
So what kind of, with your experience over a series of kids that you've worked with, what kind of content issues do you see them dealing with in some of their productions?
Well, there's two things that happen. There's two ways that I like to work with this thematically. One I just kind of touched on, and that is I like to come in with a set number of loops to work with, maybe up to a dozen. Right off the bat, then, we're introducing this idea of sometimes you only have so much to work with in life. And sometimes, yeah, you'd like things to be like this, but they're not, and this is all we have to work with. So what can we do to make this sound really cool? And then, you know, you can ask some generalizing type questions from there, like, well, now, you know, at home, you only, you know, this is the situation. What could you do with that? How can these two kind of processes sync up? And it gets them thinking. The other thing, though, it's pretty much whatever they want to write about, whatever's current in their life. Now, the one example that I've had is a 14-year-old fellow. It was the longest-term running piece that I did. We worked for about 6 months. And he was dealing with issues of... having lost his mom, and his dad wasn't in the picture, and he was in a situation where he wasn't sure, you know, where he was going to be in the foster system. Was he going to be living here? Was he going to be living there? A lot of uncertainty. And so we just started doing pieces about that. There was one on the on our website, for example, on the StudioHope.org website. I put up some examples on the Life Tracks page. And the one called Chain of Memories is one where we first started working, and he started talking about how things had gone with his mom. And you'll see on that page that it ends up with a piece that he called The Rebirth. 6 months later was actually the last piece we ever did, and he's talking about how things have changed and where he thinks he can go.
Well, we want our listeners, obviously, to check out StudioHope.org. Your website, which gives a little bit more background and gives a little bit more about the Studio Hope project. You mentioned two pieces from this one gentleman that are also available on the website that you can play and listen to.
Right.
We've got the first piece for you right now called Chain of Memories. And can you give a little background?
This really was the first piece we ever did. I think it was in July of 05. And it took us probably about one session messing around with the loops to figure out what we were going to use for accompaniment. So I sent him home with that CD, and then he came back the next week, and we started putting in vocals. And I think that one, because it was pretty much our first bit of work together, it was my first piece using this new software, probably took us about two sessions to get that all in.
And this... The theme of Chain of Memories
The theme, you know, it was just the way he had thought about it. Was the way his mother's passing.
Okay.
And it was his way of thinking about how things had been in his family when that happened. And there's this whole chain of memories mm-hmm. throughout his family system and in his own life. And he's still bound to the memory, you know, of his mom through that mm-hmm. chain.
Well, let's give a listen to some of the chain of memories. And this is part of the StudioHope.org, the Studio Hope Project.
Chain of memories. Lil Ray. Let's go. I'm scarred up dumb, now I know. I remember the day she died. Tears coming from my eyes, seeing my brothers cry. That's when I got the name, Lil Ray. That's where I stepped up in the game, not playing with any lames. Memories ain't changed, they still all the same. Changed to new brands, then fitted hats with do-rags. But mom, I still miss you, want to kiss you. Looking at your picture every night, praying to the Lord, hoping that I see your pretty face in my sleep. Nightmares of having big heat, going crazy, trying to stay out of the street. Thinking I can sing, rapping was my thing. You already know, I'm trying to keep the screen, yeah, and I'm out.
Wow, that was a pretty exciting chain of memories developed by a 14-year-old boy.
14-year-old boy.
Yeah, kind of.
And a rookie producer.
Well, the rookie producer is with me. This is David Palomo, who is talking about the Studio Hope project at StudioHope.org. And a real exciting project in terms of how to integrate and get kids integrated into music and mental health and ways of expressing themselves through art form, in this case, digital music.
Right.
Why don't you talk a little bit about how you see this fitting in as a useful adjunct to working with kids in counseling?
Well, the thing that really first caught my attention is when I was working with these kids who were got a lot of behavioral challenges. And a lot of these kids with, you know, some pretty hefty diagnoses,
mm-hmm.
bipolar and the like. And a lot of those kids, they haven't had a whole lot of success with academics. They haven't had a whole lot of success sometimes socially.
Mm-hmm.
So they haven't had a whole lot of experience of succeeding at something. So for them to come in, and in maybe one session at most two, put together these pre-recorded loops mm-hmm. and arrange them in a way that sounds great, that's a big deal for them because they're able to succeed in putting together a piece of music that sounds cool to them, that they can take back to their families and friends, that just gives them a little taste of success in a part of life where they haven't had success before. So I found that very positive.
So it really gives them a sense of self-efficacy.
Mm-hmm, exactly. So that's one way I've seen it used that I think is just powerful. Another way is when I'm working with a student, there's basically two ways to use this kind of technology when you're just putting the accompaniment together. Older kids, like middle school, I can turn them loose with the mouse
mm-hmm.
at this point and say, well, try this, try this, try this. Some of the elementary school age kids, it's a little bit of a challenge to be as precise with the mouse as they'd like. So another way of doing it is you act as their producer. And so you're kind of being their hand on the mouse, and they're telling you, well, put that there, put this loop here, put that there. And again, a lot of these kids haven't had an experience of an adult being there at their service.
And also the sense that they have some empowerment over what's happening.
Over what's happening.
The idea that they can say, I want this a little louder, or I want this a little higher, and then you being able to do that, and them
exactly.
having a sense of control over it.
That's exactly right, and I say there's two aspects of that. There's the one you just named, but a lot of them, to have that kind of interaction with an adult,
mm-hmm.
many of them have never had that at all. So there's a whole lot of positives there. And some experiences I've had with kids of all ages is I'll say, you know, hey, we got to try this,
mm-hmm.
and then we'll try it, and it sounds horrible. And they get to see me making a mistake, and I'll say, wow, your idea was better. This is great. Never mind. So they get to see that it's okay to make a mistake and that adults make a mistake.
That it's okay about, you know, trying something, and if it doesn't work out, trying something different. That there's not just one path or one choice that
there's
they have.
That, and they're also getting an experience of being able to make mistakes and have that be okay.
Mm-hmm.
And there's not going to be harsh consequences for them. Often there are in where they live. So that's just a couple of the in the air, in the ethos kind of benefits. So far as specific things clinically, I've already mentioned this whole idea of working with limits.
Mm-hmm.
You come in, that's something that took me about 6 months to learn, is no, I just can't turn them loose in a library of loops. I need to come in with a dozen or so and say, this is on the menu for today. Another real interesting technique that I read in Violet Oaklander's book on kids is the celebrity interview.
Hmm.
And that's more like what we're doing here.
Yeah.
We're not so much doing the music thing. This works really great with elementary school age kids. Mm-hmm. And you just do a radio interview. Today we're meeting with and now with the digital thing, if they put out a CD or they put out a song, and hey, we're here to talk about their new song. So you're doing all of that. And at some point in the interview, you can say, well, you know, we got a lot of young folks out there in our audience, and, you know, there's a lot of them dealing with things like, you know, anger or, you know, name an issue that's up for the kid. Now, what could you tell? What would you say to the kids out there in the audience about this? And so, again, they're just delighted to be the expert and say what they have to say about that. So that's another technique that's very cool with this. And then it's even cooler because you've got all the gear. You know,
it feels real.
The headphone and the whole thing, and they just think that's great.
Yeah, it's not a projective exercise. You're really doing it at the moment.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's neat.
And I think I've mentioned that if you can get gear that's got the different ways of tweaking voice, you can do some real interesting work with storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
And something I would like to develop but have not yet is if you had video equipment or even, you know, still photography, you could do what I like to call video sand tray, where a student is doing a series of sand tray, then they can record the story over it, adding, you know, vocal effects if they want. And those videos and or still shots can be the, you know, the visual panel. And you can put together a whole slideshow of their story.
Or their own music video around whatever themes they're addressing or trying to address.
So, you know, the real power there with you're kind of combining two media there, especially with the power of sand tray, where they can just let the story come in any way they want to.
So what kind of reactions are you getting from counselors who you work with their clients with?
Usually it's, well, can't you come more than 2 days a week?
Okay.
Yeah, it's been very positive. Another way that we use this specifically at the FACT program in Child Guidance and Family Solutions is this isn't like art therapy where it's part of the program. Actually, the music thing is usually an earned thing.
Mm-hmm.
And since kids are so excited about working in the studio, very often they're willing to work hard to meet their behavioral goals to earn studio time.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been a real powerful benefit in the program where I've been working.
Let's talk about another piece that you have here for our listeners, and that's also available on the site, studiohope.org, and the Studio Hope Project. The piece called The Rebirth, you talked about it earlier.
Yeah. Well, this is the same 14-year-old guy, and I wanted to, actually, I'm thinking of this, I should mention one very interesting thing. He was the kind of fella that couldn't just go through and do the whole vocal at once.
Hmm.
So actually what you're hearing is a whole bunch of different vocal takes that have been mixed together.
Mm-hmm.
And that was his process. I've worked with other students where they can just zip it off and go right through. Mm-hmm. But his process was a little bit more piecemeal.
Okay.
And that's the beauty of some of this new technology. It makes it so much easier to edit and all this. It's just, it's wonderful. So this was actually the last piece we did. We were working with a lot of uncertainty in the 6 months because he didn't know where he was going to be living next. And this turned out to be our last session.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd wanted to do a piece that was dedicated to his counselor who'd been with him and his family for many years. And he put that in. He's just talking about he's gone through this process and he's making changes in his life. And as he says, you know, I'm talking about a rebirth. The changes have come, and it's a real good one.
Well, this is kind of a great piece to play as a bookend to the sure. to the initial piece that the other bookend. This is the Rebirth from the Studio Hope Project, studiohope.org.
Yeah, Lil Sean with another one. Lil Sean, a true soprano. Turn up the piano, speak, ain't nothing I can't handle. I'm bringing the heat, the kind that you see in the streets, you know me. When I make my music, it's a lot of remakes and retakes. But I got a chance to redo my mistakes. All my talk about the streets, defending women, that's all my CD's about. I write songs as romantic as a Titanic. When my name gets out, it's going to be a lot of panic. I'm going to give you a doubleheader. It's like giving you a piece of cheddar. After that, I'll give you something called a triple header. I'm a rapper, not much of a napper. I rap about my mom, the story of a great dancer. It was like she was going through cancer. Didn't have much answers. It would have been nice if she had a hospital enhancer. We didn't have a lot of happy dances. It was sort of like short glances when memories pop in my head. It's Lil Sean in the Rebirth. I'm trying to get it in your head that change has come and it's a real good one. I'm trying to make this the day that everybody say Lil Sean instead of Lil Ray. I can't be much of a complainer cause I keep my comments in a container. I can't make it any plainer. Life is hard when you're trying to be a superstar. My next hit, pop it in and take a sip. I'm exploding and loading things at the same time. I'm a survivor. I'm always gonna be a striver. I'm always driven with what I do. I'm given a chance to turn my life around. I got to put a lady in my rhymes that's there for me all the time. Her smile brighter than a lighter. She helped me to become a writer. To me, she's a very good problem fighter. Her blonde hair and her intelligence too. Thanks. It's Lil Sean in the Rebirth. I'm trying to get in your head that change has come and it's a real good one. It's Lil Sean in the Rebirth. I'm trying to put it in your head that it's a change has come and it's a real good one. It's Lil Sean in the Rebirth. I'm trying to put it in your head that it's a real good one. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, I know y'all thought I wouldn't be back, but look, I'm back again, yeah, and I'm counting my stacks this time, cause I'm really in the rhymes to win, yeah, and I'm stunning you that I'm still going, ain't nobody gonna pop me down, y'all thought I wouldn't be back, I'm back. Tell all your friends I got my logo everywhere around town, how does that sound, yeah. Hit me up on my phone when I'm around, just like Mike Jones, yeah. I'm out though. It's Lil Sean in the Rebirth. I'm trying to get in your head that change has come, and it's a real good one.
The Rebirth. StudioHope.org, the Studio Hope Project.
Thanks. Yes, it was. I was real tickled with the work that this young guy did because he was having such a hard time in his life, and he really got, this really became an outlet for him and a way for him to talk about mm-hmm. the tough stuff that was going on. And I hear he's doing real well. He got placed out of the county, but he's getting on.
Good. So it was a rebirth for him in some ways.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the things I like to do with a student his age and with high school kids is I'll give them a little booklet that I put together about how to put together your own home studio. So like to tell them, you know, for the price of a summer job, mm-hmm. you can do this. And again, that gets them in. Going on some goal-oriented mm-hmm. types of activities. And again, that sense of empowerment is something that they can do.
You've alluded to this earlier in our conversation, but StudioHope.org, your services are used as part of child and guidance. Explain the relationship.
Right. Well, what I've done is started a small nonprofit to provide education services and consultant services for not just mental health professionals, but, say, people that are working with youth mm-hmm. programs and show them how they can have a small studio in as mm-hmm. part of their own program.
Yeah.
So that's one thing we do. And because of my relationship with the FAC program and Child Guidance as an intern, they've been gracious enough to let me go in there and develop this concept and try different programs and try different hardware and see what works.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. So how can our listeners either get involved in this project or work with you to develop their own similar project or use this or use something like this in terms of their own practice?
Sure. Well, they can make their first stop at studiohope.org. And for counselors, mental health professionals, even people, say, big brothers, big sisters, or in mentoring programs, just go to the counselor page.
Mm-hmm.
There's a big, long counselor page, counselor and therapist page, and there I overview what the digital music thing is, some of the ways it can be used, and then toward the bottom of the page I have some suggestions on the kinds of equipment you need
mm-hmm.
to set up a program like this. And what that costs.
And we'll have the studiohope.org link on the show notes of this show, also located at counselor.audiosource.net for folks who want to do a direct connection from our website to Studio Hope.
Yeah, and then the other thing that we have basically a digital music creation and recording setup that we can take to programs anywhere here throughout Northeast Ohio.
Okay. So what does the future look like? What kind of things are you hoping to do?
Well, we are in the process of writing some grant applications because I think the next step is to really create a digital ensemble
mm-hmm.
Capacity so that we can work with groups of kids. Right now it's pretty much limited to individual or maybe two at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some really exciting things out there for different kinds of triggers that you can use to trigger a digitally synthesized sound or a loop.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we want to add is a large array of different ways to trigger a sound so that kids with different interests and abilities
mm-hmm.
will have ways to trigger sounds. And as I said, there's some really exciting things out there in that way, and we're looking to add all of that here this year.
And your hope for this project expanding other places?
Yes. As I said, I think one of our big things is to start to educate people that are working in youth enrichment programs as well as mental health professionals to let them know how easy and actually affordable it is to have a digital recording and music creation facility wherever you work.
Okay. All right. So they can get a hold of you through the studiohope.org website.
That's right.
Your information's on there. David Palomo, who is our guest today on CounselorAudioSource.net, talking about some wonderful things in relationship to digital audio and working with kids who need some support, some help, some sense of self-efficacy.
And give them a little hope.
Well, it's been great to have you. Thanks for being part of Counselor Audio Source.
Thank you.
You've just heard an interview with David Palomo regarding creating digital music with adolescent clients and the Studio Hope Project at studiohope.org. Look for previous podcasts, show notes, and listener feedback on the podcast website at counselor.audiosource.net. Listeners can leave comments or questions for our interview guests or hosts through our Skype.com internet telephone ID, Counselor Audio Source, or by calling 330-871-4242. Counseling techniques and interventions discussed in the Counselor Audio Source broadcast are meant for use by counseling professionals, and Counselor Audio Source is not held liable for any use of the techniques mentioned in the program. Our music bed today is Memorial Day from Jamie Beauchamp. His and other PodSafe music can be found in the PodSafe Music Network at podshow.com. Counselor Audio Source is licensed under the Creative Commons, a nonprofit organization offering a flexible copyright for creative work.